CliffCentral.com.
It is Thursday, CliffCentral.com, and Thursdays mean we get to spend a bit of time with Nando's and the Burning Platform. The Burning Platform brought to you by Nando's, one of the only businesses in South Africa that's bold enough to associate themselves with the most relevant subjects for discussion. And they do that every week on the Burning Platform, where we don't shy away from controversy. We don't shy away from talking about the issues that you most care about and that you most want to know about. And usually in the studio, we're joined by Canthan Pillay. He's running around doing some family errands this morning, but we're going to get him on the line on Skype. A couple of the things we want to talk about today, so you can decide whether or not you want to join in. First thing is, we're going to speak to Joburg's DA mayoral candidate. You know, Herman Mashaba resigned. So we've got Funzela Ngobeni, who's going to join us on the line. And he's confident that by Thursday, that's today, he will be the city of Joburg's number one citizen. We'll find out all about him and whether or not he thinks he can beat the EFF's candidate to the post of mayor. And then I saw an interesting story in the Sunday Times, Zingisa Mvumvu, who will speak to us. He's a political commentator and journalist. EFF's legal representatives, Dalimpofu and Tembeka Ngukaitobi, who we've both of them have featured on the show before, have faced off against each other in the Pretoria High Court. They were both on my side in a big case against MultiChoice a while ago, but now against each other. We're going to talk about them. So that's going to come up in the Burning Platform a little bit later on. But right now on the line, Canthan Pillay. How are you, Canthan? Hello. No. Got nothing here, Sia. Trying to get Canthan on the line. Some interesting stuff internationally, which we'll look at as well. The Democratic field in the U.S. election, and particularly the Democratic candidates who are vying for the nomination as president. Some interesting changes going on there in the lineup and in the poll numbers for all of them. So that's coming up too. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the other big issues, SAA and the strike, which happened a little while ago. And now, the fact that they've been able to pay half the salaries of staff at the national carrier, but that the rest, they say, will only be paid on Monday, if at all, according to some, because the airline's out of money. They need 2 billion rand in bailouts in order to carry on in business. And I suppose this is what happens when people who don't understand economics are put in charge of enterprises which require profit in order to operate. And the SAA has been losing us money year after year after year. So it's a disaster. We'll speak to Canthan Pillay in a moment or two. We'll also speak about some of the issues that are going on in the Joburg mayoral race and some other stories that are in the news too. I don't know if you heard this morning, but there are a couple of other things going on. Twitter is apparently going to begin deleting accounts that have been inactive for more than 6 months. So unless you log in, if you have a Twitter account, unless you log in before the 11th of December, they may cut you off. It will include users who stopped posting to the site because they died. Unless someone with that person's account is able to log in. It is the first time that Twitter has removed inactive accounts on such a large scale. The site said it was because users who do not log in were unable to agree to its updated privacy policies, so therefore they can't keep them on in terms of their own rules. A spokesperson also said it would improve credibility by removing dormant accounts from people's follow accounts, something which may give the user an undue sense of importance. The first batch of deleted accounts will involve those registered outside of the United States. So that means all of us who have inactive users are going to see a decline in the number of followers we have. And if you have been inactive yourself, you're going to lose your account. All right, Canthan, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you doing?
Good. I believe you're on family duty this morning, running around taking kids to school.
I am indeed. I normally have a setup where I'm fortunate in the sense that there's one of my daughter's school teachers lives down the road from me and normally takes her to school on a Thursday morning so I can do the Burning Platform. But today she happens to have other engagements. So there we go.
No problem. People don't think of you as being a human being who has actual connections with other human beings, because your opinions can be so strident sometimes. And your someone called in on Tuesday while we had Pumi in here and brought up one of your favorite catchphrases, which is, if you look at the numbers. And this is something that comes up regularly. Any comment on the fact that SAA has only paid half to its employees, and we're obviously being called on to foot the bill so that they can pay the rest of it on Monday? This huge staff compliment that we hear?
Look, the most obvious comment that comes to mind is that if they had not gone on strike, then SAA would not have lost 8 days' worth of revenue at 50 million rand a day, which is 400 million, which would have meant that they would have been able to pay their bills. And essentially what we've got here right now is a situation where because the unions took a poor decision, it means that they're not in a position right now to actually end up getting paid. So you're just consider the impact on cash flow. 400 million just kind of vanishes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Obviously, the economic realities are not something that the people who run parastatals really care about. But we have to take advice from people who know more about these things than they do, and understand that it eventually hits us, the taxpayer. We know this already. There's nothing.
Absolutely.
New there.
Look, one of the things that I did, for my newspaper column this week, I did a calculation in terms of what it ended up costing the unions. As a result of being on strike for 8 days. Now, you consider that for someone who is earning, let's say 10,000 rand a month is an arbitrary thing. If you off work for 8 days, that's roughly a quarter of your salary that goes.
Right.
So it's about 2,500 a month that you lose. Now, the differential between 5.9% in terms of earnings and 8% in terms of earnings is over the course of a year is less than that 2,500 a month.
Right.
So you see, even if they had actually ended up winning their 8%, they still would have been worse off than they currently are. So than they would have been had they accepted the initial offer from SAA to start off with.
I'm sorry you're not.
I don't know if that logic actually.
No, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense, and you see that the unions are not logical organizations, and very often in South Africa we expect the unions to be the guardians of people in employment and to try and look after their rights, but very often the unions are more interested in their own political their own influence than they are in the good of their own members. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I think that a lot of it has got to do with the fact as well that because our education system is so stuffed up, we haven't had the unions the union members in a position to actually end up calculating what the overall impact of a strike is going to be, and then to make an informed decision as to whether they want to. Now, one of the things that I would do if I was a union member is I would say, all right, guys, you want us to use going on strike as a potential weapon, but what is it going to cost me? I'm not going to get paid for 8 days, and what does it actually end up adding up to at the end of the day? But because we've had this absurd thing called math literacy for quite a while now, where people have not been taught the basics of percentages. I mean, take this as an example. Just take a random person off the street and ask them, if I get a 10% increase on 1,000 rand a month, what does it mean in terms of real money in my pocket?
Yeah.
And I think most of you will find that they actually don't know.
Well, Canton, lowest levels of numeracy and literacy on the continent. So it's not surprising to me that a lot of people in the unions just do whatever they're told because they don't have the wherewithal to actually calculate these things for themselves. So they just get abused.
Yes. Yes. But you see, the bigger problem that we've got, and again, this is a point that I've made in the past, that my issue is not unions as such, because I think you guys do remember that I have a trade union background in the 80s, and I was organizer for the Media Workers Association, which was the journalist union back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And And the thing is that the type of things that unions were fighting for during that time were a very different scenario to what they are today. You see, back then, it was basically fighting for fair working conditions rather than having the situation right now where you essentially become political pawns because your union bosses are trying to influence the overall direction of government, which is what Zwelinzima Magavi and Irvin Jim and all of these guys are doing.
I'm sorry you're not in this morning because we've got the Joburg mayoral candidate from the DA. We tried to get the EFF's mayoral candidate on the line, but they don't even have a spokesperson that they can refer us to at the moment. What do you think is going to happen in Joburg? Are you hopeful? You're a resident of the city of Johannesburg. You were less than charmed with Herman Mashaba by the time he resigned. What are your expectations here?
Well, ultimately it all depends on the actions of the EFF. Now, the EFF in the past has basically abstained from proceedings. But if the EFF actually chooses to not abstain in the voting process today and ends up siding with the ANC, as an example, they could pretty much end up removing the entire council. And I think that there's a strong possibility that that will happen.
What happens then? Do we have to re-elect?
Yes, then we need to re-elect a new mayor. And my understanding of the rules of engagement, and no doubt the DA's mayoral candidate will correct me if I'm wrong at this point, but my understanding of the rules of engagement is that in order to elect a mayor, if you do not have a simple majority in order to be able to elect a mayor, then the party that has a plurality of votes ends up actually assigning the mayor. Hmm. And that becomes an interesting scenario. So, you know, that could effectively mean is that all the EFF has to do is to vote to remove the DA from government. Then what's left is for the ANC, who will probably be in coalition with the IFP, to put forth a mayoral candidate, and no doubt the DA will and the EFF will as well. But, you know, just by looking at the numbers, the combination of the IFP and ANC is likely to pull more votes than the DA, and the threads from PLUS and all of those guys are able to pull together. So it's going to be an interesting day.
Yeah, and these fragile coalitions, while I suppose many people like the idea of cooperative coalitions, sometimes they just break down into stasis where nothing happens.
Yeah, well, you see, essentially the coalition as such in Joburg wasn't a coalition in the classic sense. Now, if you think back to the type of coalition that Helen Zille used to run in the in Cape Town, you know, when she was she pulled together a very fragile coalition to run the city of Cape Town.
Yeah.
But that was a coalition that was put together on agreements that were drafted out between parties, and so it was a formalized structure. Now, essentially, what happened in the case of Mashaba in Johannesburg is that it was very much a Faustian pact, in the sense that he basically got the EFF to just simply say that they won't vote for the ANC.
Right.
And of course, then they allowed a scenario where Mashaba was elected as mayor, but they were never a coalition partner in the grand scheme of things. And look, in exchange for which, Mashaba had to trade a lot of the principles for which the DA is famous. So he agreed to insourcing, as an example.
Right.
And he spent the bulk of money purportedly on inner city development, although I'm still looking around anxiously for anything other than the freeway being repaired as a sign of what he's actually done.
Yeah, I don't see the CBD improving.
Today is going to be very different.
All right, Canton, what do you want, though? I mean, what would be the ideal outcome for you? Who would you like to run the city of Joburg? We've got essentially three options here. There's the EFF, the ANC, and the DA. And let's say a coalition of two of those three ends up being in charge. How would you like that to be configured for your own selfish reasons?
Well, my own selfish reason works as from the understanding that we'll never be able to have a proper DA government put to the test in the city of Joburg until the DA's coalition, DA and its coalition partners, end up with a simple majority in order to be able to run the city. Now, that's not likely to happen in this forthcoming municipal elections either. So in the interim, I think that the best possible scenario is to actually elect an EFF mayor.
Okay.
And look, the reason for this is that the EFF has never been put to the test as a governing party. The EFF doesn't govern anywhere in the country, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens if you suddenly have the EFF, for the first time ever, being forced to actually show what they're capable of delivering? And my suspicion is that they'll actually fall flat in their faces.
Oh, so you're willing to sacrifice your own municipality and the workings of it in order to prove...
Oh, no, the municipality's already sacrificed. If you look at it, you know, the basics of service delivery that Mashaba was supposed to provide. And remember, I told you, it was fix the traffic lights, fix the potholes, and clean up the trash. He has not done those three things.
Right.
Now, and, you know, take into account what's happening with the water supply in the DA-run municipality of Tshwane, again, it's a complete state of collapse. So, essentially, that horse has already bolted.
Yeah.
And right now, I think that strategically, the best thing that the DA could do is to actually vote an EFF mayor into office and then step back and watch and let the city properly go to hell in a handbasket. Call their bluff once and for all. Show that they are a bunch of people who basically talk loudly and protest, but are incapable of actual action.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that then resets people's mindset in terms of what the EFF is all about.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you
go. It's deeply cynical, but yeah.
It is, but maybe that's the way to go.
I'll listen for a while.
All right. Thanks, Canton. And enjoy being the parent who has to drop kids off today.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. See, parental responsibility from Canton Pillay. Very important. All right, we're going to speak to the DA's mayoral candidate for Johannesburg, Funzela Ngubeni, who is convinced that he will be the city of Joburg's number one citizen, despite threats from other political parties. Behind-the-scenes negotiations are underway with the EFF and other coalition party members. He said, "We have worked well with our partners over the past few years, so there's no reason why this should not continue for the next 18 months. I am confident we will find common ground. It would be foolish to tamper with things at this stage." Ngobeni, who is currently MMC for Finance, said he would not be changing the agenda of the current administration under Herman Mashaba. He said, "It has worked, so there's no need to change anything. We're on good tracks, especially financially." So, let's see if we can speak to Funzela and maybe find out whether or not that's still his opinion and whether he's going for the top spot, or maybe whether Canton has a point that with all the cynicism you can pour onto this, it might be worth giving the EFF a chance to try and run things, if for no other reason but to prove that they can't. Lots of cynicism piled upon cynicism piled upon cynicism. And interesting, Pumi Mashiko, who was one time, she's still here on Tuesdays, but she used to be a co-host of the Burning Platform, tweeted out this for your and my and Canton's interest this morning. "It's Thursday and there is a Burning Platform. Some interesting news, guys, ahead of today's mayoral vote in Johannesburg. I'll listen on the phone," says Pumi. And then she's tweeted out a poll from Davi Skoltz, who we've also had on the show a couple of times. Davi is one of the number crunchers when it comes to elections. A very important by-election that was held in Thabazimbi in Limpopo at Ward 2, the first post-Maimane data from a ward up north with Afrikaans voters. Apparently, Thabazimbi has gone like this. The DA has lost 24 seats, 34%. The Freedom Front Plus has gained 28%, which is 21 seats, and the ANC has gained 1. So, turnout 48%. That's in line with the trend we've been seeing all year, according to Davi Skoltz. Interesting. Those DA votes have swung to the FF plus by all accounts. So very interesting stuff. Thank you, Pumi, for your contribution this morning. Have we got Funzela? No, says Sia. Oh, no. All right. Well, I mean, there's other stuff to discuss, so we can look at some of those things from now. Apparently, the Zondo Commission was busy all of Wednesday morning and has shifted its focus from corruption to Transnet. An expert witness, Alistair Chubby, is expected to testify. Earlier this week, the commission focused on evidence from former national intelligence officials, including Mo Sheikh, who had some stunning revelations to make. We discussed some of these earlier in the week. Both officials painted a gloomy picture of their attempts to investigate the Gupta family, who had a close relationship with former President Jacob Zuma. The two, that's Mo Sheikh and Gibson Njenje, who spearheaded the investigation because of suspicions of a security threat posed by the Gupta family. U.S. authorities had asked questions about the Guptas regarding a uranium mining deal. There was also an issue of the family having intimate knowledge of Zuma's 2010 cabinet reshuffle before he announced it, even to the members of that cabinet. These issues raised red flags and prompted their decision to investigate. Njenje corroborated Sheikh's evidence that former State Security Minister Siyabonga Gcwele had been against the Gupta investigation. He, Gcwele, seemed to have other interests other than the national interest, said Njenje. So now, what's going to happen? Is this going to result in any change? Is there anybody who's going to carry the can for the decisions, good or bad, that were made in those revelations by Gibson Njenje and Mo Sheikh, who we haven't seen in South African politics for some time? He went very quiet for a long time. So who knows what's happening there? And then there's more from Busisiwe Mkhwebane, who just doesn't seem to be able to put her foot right. And as I mentioned, a big face-off, like a legal derby, like a Kaizer Chiefs versus Pirates match between Dali Mpofu of the EFF and Thembeka Ngukai Thobi, who are both advocates. Usually they're found on the same side in many of the cases that they've been involved in. But in this case, Pofu's representing Busisiwe Mkhwebane, and Ngukai Thobi is representing Baloyi, who is challenging the termination of her employment. She's the former public protector COO. And it seems that, according to Ngukai Thobi anyway, Mkhwebane failed to act impartially and independently in preparing reports, which included the CR17 campaign funding probe and the South African Revenue Service's rogue unit investigation. All right. Got him on the line? Okay. Joburg mayoral candidate Funzela Ngobeni. Oh! Sorry. Sia's just telling me now it's not Funzela on the line. Instead, we're going to speak to Zingisa Mfumvu, who is on the line from the Sunday Times. Hi, Zingisa.
How's it, Darren?
Good. So this legal derby that we're squaring off, Thembeka Ngukai Thobi and Dali Mpofu against each other, are people more interested in the lawyers or the actual case?
Come again?
Are people more interested in the two advocates or in the actual case before the court?
Yeah.
Because it is a bit of a derby, right?
Yeah. It is. And I think people are carried away more by, you know, the characters in it being this so-called legal derby than the actual merits of the case by the look of things. Which makes sense, by the way. These are two legal heavyweights in our country, and they've always been on the same side most of the time.
Yeah.
Actually, this is the first time that they've been on opposite sides in such a high-profile case. But so it's very interesting. And, I mean, you know, the public protector has been in court time and again this year. So I think it's generated a whole lot of interest. But as I said, people are getting carried away by the gymnastics of it than the actual merits of the case.
Well, I mean, it's kind of boring because it's really an employment issue. And it's about an unlawful termination, according to Baloyi. But it's about the public protector being within her rights to do as she needs to with the people in her employ, according to Dali Mpofu and Busisiwe Mkhwebane. So why does this matter to the average South African, besides the fact that we get to see two superstar advocates go up against each other? Do we care about the outcome of this case?
I think we should, Gareth, because, as I said, there's been a whole lot of, you know, legal battles surrounding the public protector. I know that this may sound like, a labor case, but, you know, there's a whole lot of politics in it, as advocate Cameron Wetchebe was arguing yesterday that from their point of view, the termination of the contract of the former COO had to do with politics in a way that she challenged some of the decisions that were taken by the public protector, some of the strategies that she employed to prioritize certain cases over others and stuff like that. And you know, there's been that talk that the public protector has got a certain bias, towards certain sections of the ANC and in government. So in that regard, if indeed their argument carries some weight, I mean, we'll hear that at the end of the case during the judgment, then I think the case is something we should care about.
Have you been involved in watching the Zondo Commission at all this week? Have you been paying attention to any of those goings on?
This week, not much. I think I did just earlier in the week during the Gibson Genge and Moshek testimony. Mm-hmm. I didn't yesterday.
What do you think is going to happen with all of these cases going on and the public protector's credibility being put on the table again? Do you think that it's likely that South Africans are, because we held the public protector in such high regard during the term of the previous public protector, and she continues to be someone who's quite influential in South African society and now as a commentator from academia more than anything else. But do you think that the public protector has lost face to the degree that South Africans are probably less interested in that role, that office, than they have been at any stage?
Well, more than it has anything to do with the public protector, in my opinion, I think it just has to do with the kind of volatile political situation that we find ourselves in. And this all started for me after the Nazareth Conference of the ANC in 2017. I think since then there has been high emotions in our politics because of these two warring ANC factions that never stop. And the reality is that after Nazareth, there was never a clear winner. We know that the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, of the ANC in the country didn't win by a huge margin in Nazareth. And henceforth, then there has been a challenge to his power, and there's been jostling of powers, people using different institutions to fight each other. And I think the public protector got caught into those, sectional battles of the ANC. And really, by the look of things, the future is quite bleak for us and the public protector. But we know now that Parliament will be processing, her removal. Maybe there will be a light at the end of that tunnel, but we'll have to see, because even that too, it's not just slam dunk in terms of the public protector being able to go, because of these divisions within the ANC. Even in the ANC caucus, it may well be that when the whole matter goes down into a vote, that a certain section of the ANC votes to protect the public protector and she doesn't go anywhere. So it's going to be quite interesting going forward in terms of the future of the public protector.
Well, thank you, Zingisa Mvumvu. It's very nice to speak to you from the Sunday Times, and let's keep our eyes open for this this Dalimpofu Tembega Ngugai Thobi face-off in the Pretoria High Court earlier this week and ongoing. Thank you very much for talking to us, Zingisa. All right, it is just about 7:30. Are we speaking to the DA mayoral candidate? Okay, well, let's get him on. Let's talk to him, see what's going on over there. So today's the big day in Johannesburg. Funzela has been rushed into a meeting, but we've got Mike Moriarty, who's the DA chief whip, who's been assigned to speak to us this morning. At least the DA managed to find people to speak to us. We've been trying to get the EFF to tell us what their plans are in respect of the Joburg municipality. Is Mike on
Mike
the line?
Moriarty.
Hi, Mike, how are you?
He's not available.
Oh, Mike's not available. Sorry, that's it. That's the burning platform for today. Hooray. That's all we got time for. All right, 7:30. CliffCentral.com. When we come back, we'll get on with the rest of your morning. But that's the burning platform brought to you by Nando's for this morning. CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com. On a Thursday morning, got a couple of things that I wanted to get to today. And since we've got a bit of time, this is quite fun. I love seeing politicians being caught up, being stuck in situations where they actually just don't know how to get in or out of them, and where they're revealed for the kind of nonsense people that they actually are. And Nicola Sturgeon, who is the Scottish National Party. I suppose she's the leader, and in some ways she's a spokesperson for an independent Scotland. In some ways she's very anti-Brexit. She's very anti-Boris Johnson. And she was asked if she would debate him, and she said, "Oh, I'll debate him, but he's a scaredy cat." Does that make any sense? Does that even sound like something you understand in South Africa, or is the accent too broad? Listen
Could
to this.
Could you translate that, please?
Well, here she is. Listen to this. Right. Take it away, Nicola.
He seems to be a big scaredy cat that he's decided he doesn't want to debate me. You'd have to ask him why that's the case. I remember when he came to Bute House in the summer and was sort of getting into debate about independence with me. Privately, I suggested to him then that we should take it to the public sphere and have a debate in public about that. He seemed to be up for that at the time, so I can't really throw any light on what has changed his mind. But, you know, if you want to be Prime Minister, he is standing in this election to be, then he shouldn't be running scared of debate. And
what do you think of that? Do you make any sense of that? Can you even understand her? I mean, don't feel bad if you don't understand her. She's very Scottish. She's basically saying she would debate Boris, but she thinks he's afraid. But why I bring her up is that she was on Andrew Neil's show on the BBC earlier this week. And this guy, Andrew Neil, he's a superb interviewer, right? He quizzed the First Minister of Scotland, that's Nicola Sturgeon, during an interview.
Mm-hmm.
People said, just like the Prince Andrew interview, which was such a disaster for him,
oh,
that she should never have gone on Andrew Neil's show because he exposed her for being the disaster that she is. Listen to how he nails her with one after the other claims of how bad she is at doing what she does. Listen to this. It's amazing. All right, he's gonna.
You've been in for a long while.
And remember, he's Scottish too. So listen.
Your eight waiting time targets being hit. You've been in for a long while. You haven't hit the A&E target since 2017. The 2 month cancer target you haven't hit since 2013. Children are dying in a new Glasgow hospital because the water's contaminated, by pigeon droppings. A new multi-million-pound Edinburgh hospital should have opened in 2012. Is still unfit to open. You can't even get the ventilation system to work. You've got the worst drug addiction problem in Europe. If you cut drug treatment budgets by 15 million, you clung on to your last health minister. You're under pressure now to sack her successor. I mean, you've called for legislation to protect the NHS from Donald Trump. Maybe the NHS needs legislation to protect it from Nicola Sturgeon.
Boom, gut punch.
Burn.
This is a lot.
That guy, he was on a tirade, and she had no way of even getting into the conversation. She's like,
but at the same time, though, I don't really feel bad for politicians because you get yourself into this position.
I love it.
If you say you want to serve the people and you really want to be one with the people, then you must stand for that as well. I was watching ENCA a couple of days ago, and now what has become a bit of a viral video as well was one of the ENCA anchors, Thembekile Mkhototo, interviewing a member of the EFF's youth league. And Thembekile quotes directly from a newspaper article, and the headline was "Why the EFF's youth league is so useless." And that was Thembekile's very first question.
Yeah.
Said, and very professionally says, you know, now, given the day's proceedings, and I'm paraphrasing here, and he says, yes, and we will go straight to the EFF to find out what is happening with their youth league. He welcomes so-and-so, and he says, so-and-so, getting straight into it, why exactly are you so useless? And the guy, I've never seen, just to be so blunt, I've never seen a black guy go so pale so quickly. And he didn't have anything to say.
Never saw it coming, did he?
But you know what? This is the position you put yourself in as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a newspaper headline. It's not exactly what the EFF want people to say about them.
Well, Askies, but he has to stand up for it now.
Hey, can we turn our attention to something much more fun?
Okay.
What's the best meme of 2019? What's everybody's favorite meme? I love this thing. It's just, I can't get enough of it. I'm following an account with it.
Suggest that vegetables, yeah? That purple thing.
Which vegetable?
What's that?
No, we're talking about memes.
Oh,
we're
memes,
talking about
not emojis.
Not emojis.
No, the meme of the woman from Real Housewives of Something.
Yes.
Screaming at the cat.
Oh, yes. The cat's one. You know,
the cat, where the cat's sitting there behind a plate of like stuff and the cat's going.
I still reckon Woman versus Cat on Twitter is one of the best accounts
and
right
now. And I'm following that. And actually they
sent Are you following it?
Yeah, of course. They sent me a message the other day to say thanks for the follow.
You don't believe in Whiskers, but you believe in that cat?
Whiskers Shabalala.
Whiskers Shabalala. Let's just remind people that's the cat that supposedly is a demon-possessed taxi driver in Johannesburg. But this, no, this cat I love. Someone sent me a couple of pictures this week. You can buy a jersey now, a Christmas jersey.
With the woman
and
the cat.
The woman on the back and the cat on the front.
Really?
Yes. You can also buy pillows for your sofa at home, cushions.
That's a little
with the woman and the cat. I would love these for Christmas. What are you kidding?
Oh, who are you going to get them for?
For me.
Oh, for you.
Yeah.
Look, someone even went into an iStore and there were three iPhones on display.
Oh, I love it.
And they changed it up to include the woman and the cat on these iPhones.
So three different iPhones creating this one image of the woman,
meme.
Cat. Yeah, yeah.
When do we exactly accept that this has gotten a bit out of hand now?
No, I love it. So okay. if there are any more of those, please feel free to send them on to me. I cannot get enough of this meme. Woman versus cat. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go and look it up. Just type in woman versus cat and you'll see those pictures.
Well, I think though, it's not necessarily a meme, but it is iconic at this stage. But Mayfork Marlies for me has made the year.
Was that this year?
Yes.
Wow, it feels like much longer ago.
Let's not forget this. Mayfork Marlies.
Yeah.
Wait, remind me which one
this
was?
The one with the woman who's riding around on a bicycle and she goes,
hits the poles.
Yeah, she rides straight into the pole. And then the other person drops the camera and goes, oh, Mayfork Marlies.
And only because now she's had so much attention on her. But Marlies moved to the Netherlands to work as an au pair.
Oh, really? The actual
Marlies. Her surname is Horn. So Marlies Horn moved to the Netherlands to work as an au pair.
Yeah.
And while she was navigating this new country of hers, she actually crashed her car.
Oh, for God's sake. You're joking. You're joking, right?
And she posted this up everywhere.
No way. Yes. Is she making this up or is this for real? Jesus, that's outrageous.
From a bicycle to actually crashing a Tesla. She was driving a Tesla at the time.
Expensive mistake.
I cannot believe that. That's like art imitating life and life imitating art.
And she had two of the kids that she was actually in charge of taking care of.
I hope they both
in the
went.
Car.
May fuck my disease. Yeah. All right. There was a very funny, speaking of memes, very funny Facebook video that I thought you might like. You know how awkward it can be at this time of year where you get to see your relatives for the first time in like 12 months.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes it's very difficult because there are people in your family you don't like. And there's a funny clip from some Elizabeth Taylor movie where she meets someone. And this is often how it is for people and their relatives at this time of year. So you just have to imagine that these are two women who are dressed up at a party in December. They both look like they've really gone to a lot of trouble and they're trying to be as pretty as they possibly can. And this is them meeting up. And this might be how it is with your family. Okay? Yeah, listen to this quickly. Let me just try and load it up. And any time now. There we go.
Why, Lola. What a delightful surprise.
So glad to see you not only kept your gorgeous figure, but you've added so much to it.
What are you doing here so early, dear? I thought the plastic surgery seminar was in Switzerland.
Right, can we have a big smile, please, ladies?
Chin up, darling. Both of them.
Lola, dear, you know there are really only two things I dislike about you.
Really? What are they?
Your face.
Wow.
There's a lot of insults in one little clip, right?
Two chins.
Yeah.
Your two faces.
The plastic surgery conference. I like what you've done. You've added so much to your figure.
I feel like it's more of a woman thing. We can get by as men.
Yeah, men don't talk to each other like that. Yeah. But you will see, like, there's awkward stuff that happens with families. There's always the granny who kisses, like, right on the face. There's always the dirty old uncle or grandpa or whatever it is that comes in out of nowhere. Someone always has a drunk relative. There's always an embarrassing story about someone at the table that everybody avoids, or they go straight to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of
all the granny who just shoots straight from the hip and just says it like it is because she doesn't care anymore.
That's like you. You're not a granny.
Really?
Is that how you are at your family? I'm sure you do. Don't you say outrageous things at the family dinner table?
No.
Really?
What?
People think
I feel
that
like that's you though, Gareth.
People think you're diplomatic? No.
You know what? You know the interesting thing is when I'm with family, I'm more quiet and reserved. I don't talk much.
Ooh, can I meet your family members?
Hey?
You mean they're more outspoken than you?
Of course they are.
Oh my.
May I meet them and just simply play a few podcasts from the show?
You do not need to do that.
Your family don't listen to you in here.
No,
would they be horrified if they heard what you have to say sometimes?
They probably would. And I've said to them that they shouldn't listen because we are uncensored. And some of the stuff that goes on here,
mm-hmm.
they just would not need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they have respect to that. Yeah.
Because you'd have a lot of explaining to do.
I would. They'd be like, oh, we didn't know you like this.
You got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
So following on having Dr. Witt on the show yesterday, he was talking about some of the increases and spikes he sees in certain behavior over the festive season.
Mm-hmm.
Very oddly, Canada has a bit of a random risky behavior and spike in behavior over the festive season.
Really? Canada, which is a very calm, sedate country, not
very
like,
vanilla for
yeah,
lack of a better
sure,
term.
Sure, absolutely. So what happens there?
They have a very serious problem, Gareth.
Uh-huh.
It's a gonorrhea problem.
Oh no.
Sis. So there's more gonorrhea holiday time?
There are spikes of gonorrhea in Canada, particularly the city of New Brunswick. And so now the city of New Brunswick and particularly the Department of Health has had to issue out a series of messages to bring awareness to this problem. But this one in particular got my attention. It reads, "This holiday season, spread holiday cheer, not gonorrhea." And that's what they've posted all over their social media. They've said just in 2018, over the festive season alone, they had 96 new cases of gonorrhea. The previous year, they had 54 cases of gonorrhea alone over the festive season. And so now they're saying it was all a big wake-up call. This is a problem and they need to act. So now they're saying they want everyone just to spread holiday cheer, but not gonorrhea.
Yeah, please, let's not do that here either. STDs are no laughing matter. Should be cleaning up our act.
It's all fun and games until
until then someone gets a positive test result. You don't want that.
Exactly. Another thing though that's on the increase over the festive season is online dating.
Ooh. Well, this is worthy of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're comfortable enough discussing this. Anybody is, but a lot of people don't like being alone in December.
It makes sense.
And a lot of people do like being alone in December.
As in just company or
well, no, I mean
in
relationships. Because what happens, you know, you get two kinds of people over the holidays. You get the kind of people who like to be with a partner because they do things together and they go on holiday together and they go to dinner together and they spend time at parties together and all that kind of thing, which is great.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You share with somebody. Or you get the kind of people who want to be single because they want to operate in
December.
They want
to operate and navigate.
December is a time for them to score maximum points.
Yeah.
So they want to be as
there
loose
are memes
as
on
possible.
That. Have you seen
sure
the memes?
There are. Yeah.
What type of memes?
The December, your partner, leave your partner memes or not available.
Oh,
you know?
Goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
So what single. Kind of, let's not mess around. What kind of person are you in December? Are you the, I like to be with somebody in December and share a lot of cool holiday experiences? Or are you the kind of, I'm going to operate this December person and I therefore want to be free as a bird?
I used to be the operator.
Ooh, smooth operator.
Yeah.
You know, the company you keep is crucial to who you are and the way you think. Cause I think the friends I had back then were operators and I was an operator myself. And December was the time, like we were like most days of the week out
doing
and about,
something, yeah.
doing something, trying to find girls. That was late high school, early varsity.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now I couldn't be bothered about being alone.
You'd prefer to be with somebody?
No, I'm okay.
Okay, but
I'm okay.
Would you prefer to be with somebody? It's a different question.
I prefer to be with family now.
Oh,
during that period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like family for Christmas. That's good. I don't like to go away for Christmas. I like to be at home for that.
Mm.
But New Year's a different story. And I still haven't decided. I'll let you know once I've made my mind up, just out of pure curiosity. People always ask each other, what are you doing for New Year? Yeah.
It is a little sad, though, if you are one of those people who prefer to be with someone over this festive season, because a lot of these online dating sites are actively warning their users that catfishes are rife around this time of the year and they will take advantage of you. So just be careful on who you talk to and what you might say to them and how attached you might get to them. What?
Catfish. Or cat.
It took me a moment because I thought maybe you were still stuck on the woman versus cat thing by that little meow. So like one particular website has given us like 7 points around how to spot potential catfishes. Anyone interested in knowing these?
Okay, go ahead.
Go on.
Okay, the first is, they call it very bluntly here, but your date looks too good to be true.
Yeah. You see someone's profile picture and they're this model, this stunning, perfect, like photoshopped on a beach, magnificent body.
Mm-hmm.
Just great. Forget about it. It's not real.
But also, you got to look at yourself as well. If you're a 2 and you're being hit on by a 10,
mm-hmm.
It's not bullshit. It's not possible.
Yeah. Let's just be honest, yes. So self-confidence is one thing, but alarm bells should start to go off if a model just randomly starts to contact you to ask for a date. So some of these websites actually encourage users to do a reverse image search. That has been one of my favorite things.
How do you do
it?
What is that?
There's an app.
Okay.
Have you tried this?
No.
Do you know you can also do it on Google?
Really?
Yes.
Tell me how.
Go onto Google and just type in reverse image search.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so they'll give you the option.
It's called Reversi, the app I use.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you can put in a picture, and then it'll search for that person. Well, it'll search the whole of the internet to see.
For that person.
If that picture already exists. And then they'll tell you who it is, basically.
Oh.
So it's really interesting.
Yeah. So if someone is using just a random photo of a girl they found on Facebook, it would be able to attach it to the right person.
Correct.
So second note that they put out as a warning is if your potential data is just a perfect match. So if you're chatting to someone and they just seem to be agreeing with everything you say, they like everything you like, they are interested and have been to everywhere you've been to as well, that seems a little too fishy. So you might want to investigate that. The third is if they don't have a digital footprint. And I mean, this is very, very like obvious there.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone, once you know their name or their surname and you can't find anything about them online, that for me is a massive warning sign.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then you've obviously got to look at, especially on sites like Facebook or Instagram, you can see who you've got mutual friends with and of. If you're mutual friends with someone and they also know that person, then ask them. Actually say to them, hey, do you know this
character?
Right. Yeah. The next is if they come on too strong, and you might be caught up in your feelings and you think this is so incredible that you're like, of course, yes, this person wants to be so invested in me and has undying love. But no, if they come on too strong, they might have other intentions for you.
Mm-hmm.
The next is if they're afraid of Skype or any other video call situation, isn't that a big telltale sign?
Yeah, if someone's not prepared to FaceTime you or to actually show what they look like on a live stream, then you know they're probably not the person in their pictures.
Yeah.
Or they're fucking ugly.
Probably the former, not the latter as well. If they live far, far away, that's also supposedly a warning sign. If they ask for money. And then lastly, if their life sounds like a soap opera, that's also a bit of a warning sign that some dating websites say. So if this person has now had a severe family tragedy and they don't know who else to turn to except you, and now you are the one to be the savior of the day, really, for someone who you've been talking to for 10 days, that's a bit of a warning sign.
All of these you should listen to over and over again if you're thinking of having a relationship with some stranger online, because it's usually going to end in tears. I hate to break it to you.
Talking about relationships, guys, I've got an issue that I need your advice on.
Just be aware, you're asking us for relationship advice.
You know, we might give you advice that just leads to entertainment for us.
Well, look, I think you guys are the right people. The dates I went on for first dates.
Yes.
That didn't work out. You guys watched the show. You saw that.
But you missed out.
We never went on another date.
Yeah.
Either. Mm. So since the show has aired, this chick has messaged me and like demanded to know why we never went on a second date and you know, like what happened.
Not to say I don't believe you, but demand is a very strong term.
Well, she wants answers. She's not, she's not politely saying, what happened?
Yeah.
You know? So I said to her, it's a long story. We'd have to sit down and talk about it. We've now set, it's not a date. It's a me explaining to her that, dude, this is why this thing didn't
You're
work
not
out.
Interested at all.
I'm not interested at all.
She obviously but she's is
now,
interested.
I can see she's going wild with it. She wants to do dinner. For me, it's like, dude, I want to do coffee.
Yeah.
Talk to you for like 5-10 minutes and bounce.
Use work as an excuse is the first thing. So you've got to sit down with her just to get off your case.
Yeah.
You're not interested at all. Let's just not be clear about this. No. Okay. Make it. Say it's a coffee and say you have to go back to the office. So use work as an excuse. I've got like literally half an hour.
No, but I said that to her. She suggested a dinner, like a fancy place, paying for.
No can do.
And I said to her, dude, I thought we were doing like a during the day vibe. She's like, dude, no, I'm busy.
I love the way you call it, dude.
She says to me, she's busy during the day. And we can look at the weekend possibly. No, I haven't responded to that.
Said her you're away every weekend until the end of the year.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
That's why I came here for advice.
Say, I'm busy, busy, busy. And you can show her a bullshit schedule if you
just
need to.
Just make it up.
No, just steal Sia's schedule. He is busy.
Yeah, it is busy. What do you think?
What do you do, Sia?
Yeah, what does one do in Google. This situation?
I think you've already put yourself in a bit of an awkward situation by agreeing to have this conversation face to face.
Yeah, but for me, it was literally that, but I can tell that for her, it's like a redemption type of thing.
This is already awkward. Then I don't know.
You don't have any advice?
No, I don't think you should have had this conversation face to face at all.
Let's ask someone who always has an easy answer for these things.
Who's this?
Jane Malach.
Oh, no.
Oh,
please find Jane. I want to ask her quickly before the show ends for today. Mom, Jane. I wonder if you can help us. Gugu went on that show First Dates. Did you see it? You saw the show. I'm going to just let me get Jane on the line here. She's the one to help us. Jane, you saw the show.
I'm already have an answer because I was listening everything. Gugu actually used to date married women. So this lady, she's single.
Wow.
That's why he doesn't want to go out with her. You know, when you used to date old women and those that are married, when you find a young lady, you will never go out with her because your mind is still there with that lady that she's married. That's it.
What do I say to
this,
Gareth?
Is that true that you used to date married women?
Sia, do you want to explain how this...
No. I want to hear this from you.
I know where it's coming from.
I want to hear this from you. Yes,
you have to involve Sia. I'm the one who's talking.
Can I talk or is she talking?
I'm the one who's talking. It's not Sia who's talking.
So
I'm the one who has an answer for you, Gugu.
No, wait. Hold on.
No, okay. But you're not helping him with what he's got to do here. Anyway, let me just ask him quickly. Just stay there, Jane.
Right.
Stay there. I dated someone that Sia knows, right?
Oh, we is that what up. It's about?
Yes, it's about that.
Oh,
no. We broke up.
Who was married?
No. Hold on.
Oh, okay. We broke up. Yeah.
She gets engaged. We're still on good terms.
To someone else. Yeah. Yes, okay.
I'm happy for her. We're still
talking. Right, okay. Yeah.
She gets married. We're still talking and, well, not talking every day, but we're still on good
terms.
Friendly.
Okay.
And somehow, this gets into the office. And I can only imagine it's through one person because that's the only mutual connection we have. And I think that's where Jane got it from.
So Jane is pulling on like an old story here.
And Sia, I shat on her for this. We spoke about this. We did speak about this.
How exciting.
Yeah.
This is so
actually,
exciting.
It's not Sia who told
he's
me.
Speechless.
Gugu, you are the one who told me the whole story downstairs.
I did not tell you shit.
No, Sia is not the one who told you. You are the one who
Sia,
told you. Remember.
What do you have to say?
Wait.
What do you have to say?
I just want to clarify here.
Yes.
Australia, is that what you're talking about?
With who?
What
are you based this on? Jane, everybody was getting on fine here. You brought up this married woman thing. you are saying Google dated a married woman, but this, he dated this woman once. Now she's married to someone else.
No, he still want to go on date with the married woman. That's
when
why.
Who told you this?
You are the one who told me.
Me?
Yes.
Why would I discuss shit like that with Jane?
You discuss shit with me all the time.
I like apples. Right. Do you like apples?
But, okay,
I like
so oranges this, as well. I don't know what this is, but this is totally unrelated. Like, it is apples and oranges.
Like.
All right, so Jane, no advice from Jane on this situation you've got at the moment.
And Sia, please, if you got stuff to share around the office, make sure it doesn't get blown out of proportion and twisted and... Ooh.
Jay says on the line, Jane is dropping a bomb like it's nothing. Oh my God, this is brilliant. You should give Jane her own show. Agony Auntie, relationship advice from Jane Malachi.
Look at Sia right now. He can't even say anything.
No, I just feel like this is so blown out of the water.
Let me just tidy this up before we close the show off today. So whatever relationship you had before has no bearing on your question.
No, it doesn't.
And for either Jane or anyone else to have brought it up is completely unrelated.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that's got anything to do with it. I think you got to see this woman, but make it as quick as possible. Don't drag her along. Don't go on a date. It's going to give her expectations that she can change her mind.
Yeah, but how do I shut it down
Her, listen, this is the only time I've got.
Yeah.
I can meet you for half an hour. I just want to tell
and
you
just
something.
Need busy.
I don't have a lot of time. And really, this isn't going anywhere for me. But let's sit down. If you want to sit down, we'll sit down. Because if you string her along...
It's not going to end.
No, exactly. Here's the problem. Someone once said this to me, and it's still one of the truest things. I repeat it all the time. Men get with women hoping they'll never change, but they do.
Men get with
women. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And women meet up with men hoping they can change them, but they never
can. They can't do that.
Right. Sometimes it's more true than at other times, but it's so far, in all my observations, been just about one of the most wise things I've ever heard about relationships or the lack thereof. So I don't know, but that's all I'm useful for today. There's some other advice for somebody here. I don't think you owe her any explanation, says Candace. You don't have to explain yourself to her. That's kind of what Sia was saying.
I think I'm just gonna be busy.
Block, ignore, move on.
I can't block. I'm not cruel.
Ruth says, I'm proud of Google. Just be honest. And if this woman can't accept the truth, she has issues. If she's stalking you and she heard the podcast, accept it and remove your number. Whoops, if she's got any self-respect, she'll actually not meet you. And then lots of people hopping on board. this is good.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm living for Sis Jane. Gugu, just tell her over the phone. You've led her along by saying you'll meet with her. And maybe you should just tell her the truth. That's from Helen. Okay, so lots of good advice coming through from other people, not so much from me and Sia.
So don't meet up with her.
Well, what do you? You must decide. But this there's conflicting advice here. Yeah, but sometimes being nice is being cruel long term.
Yeah, nip it in the bud.
All right, very
good. Sia, you are still stunned.
Well,
you didn't know that this shit had evolved to what. So to what it is.
Who's responsible
for... Look at the time.
It's him.
You think it's Sia or do you think... Sia didn't bring this up.
No. Here's the thing, Gareth. It's been taken and twisted and he knows that it's been taken and twisted and blown out of proportion.
So Sia is friends with this person who you once dated.
Yes.
Yes.
No, okay. So the adult way to deal with this is Sia's still that person's friend.
They are still
friends.
You
and her are no longer in a relationship.
No.
So what's the issue?
Well, the issue now, Sia, as you would know, is that...
I don't know anything.
It's now been blown out of proportion.
You mean Jane has got hold of it?
Through Sia, of course. Jane's got a hold of it, and it's a completely different story now.
Jane has made it sound like you're still dating this woman.
This married woman.
Yeah, has been interested in many... Married woman as well.
Yeah, Jane has made it sound like you are only interested in marriage.
In this married, that's why I can't go
Jane
on this
Malachi.
Date.
Jane loves a story.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
All right, so everybody calm the fuck down. It is just after 8 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Thanks for joining us today. Ooh. I bet you didn't think there'd be this bonus clangor at the end of your morning. Jeez.
Yassus.
No rest. Yassus is right. Yesterday's brand, Yassus. We're going to have to put that up on a big sign and hold it up often on the show. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.